To the big book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4. I want to bring you a message entitled The Partnership of Missions. The Partnership of Missions. We've been talking about the Great Commission starting last night and discipleship, all part of the Great Commission, soul winning, and evangelizing, baptizing, church planting. And I want to talk about the partnership in missions. You're in Philippians chapter 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Usually I would think most people, they don't get too many mission messages out of the book of Philippians. But I think as we work through this passage and we see it in context, we will say that this is a great missions passage. Philippians chapter 4 will begin in verse 10. The Bible says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me." Who's me? This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi. "Your care of me hath flourished again." The Bible says, "Wherein you were also careful or mindful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate, you did share," the Bible teaches us, "you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you that we can look into the heart of the Apostle Paul and the heart of a local church in a place called Philippi. And we can see the relationship between this church and the missionary, the Apostle Paul, and the work that took place. And Lord, I would pray that as we sit here and this morning, as we sit in this church, that we would think about that relationship, that partnership in missions that we have with people that are serving all over the world, many of them already having services today. Many of them have already gone into the next day, and we're kind of on the tail end here in the United States of America. Yet we have missionaries in this country as well, all the way to the West Coast. I just would pray, Lord, as we look at this passage, that you would speak to our hearts, the Holy Spirit working and operating. Lord, help me to preach, help us to hear, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. And I pray that there would be some fruit in our life from being a part and in this service today. We pray it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. The partnership of missions. Now, I want to say to you that Paul cared for this church. He spent a little time there, but he cared for this church. He was traveling most of the time. He's gone. He's on the road, you might say, most of the time, but he cared for this church. If you look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, you'll notice that he said, "My brethren, dearly," go ahead, help me finish, "beloved." Look at the end of verse 1. "My dearly," what's he say again? There is a strong relationship between him and this church. This church in Philippi cared for Paul because he came to Philippi in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16, he came to Philippi on the second missionary journey, really started his work in that town on a Saturday down by the riverside, met a lady there who did some work with the color purple, her name was. Met her, did some work in town, caused somebody to lose their business a little bit when he healed a lady. And then he got thrown in prison because he'd hurt that man's business. And at midnight, he was crying. No, what was he doing at midnight? singing and praising the Lord, and there was a jailbreak. The guard thought was going to kill himself, and he asked this question because they were all still in the prison. What must I do to be? And he and his whole house were saved. And so this is the story of Philippi, Acts chapter 16. This is what takes place when he first came to town. And so they partnered together in missions work, the Apostle Paul and this church. Now, I want to ask this question. I want you to think about this question. How strong is our partnership with our missionaries? How deep is the relationship between the church and our missionaries? Now, the reason that we have missionaries and the reason that we send missionaries is because we have a great commission to fulfill to reach the whole world. And many of us are living right here in Nebraska. We might get a county over from time to time. We might even cross the state line from time to time. But this is our place of residence. This is our place of work. This is our place of life. And this is our church. And we're here on a regular basis. And we are commanded to reach the world. And if we're going to reach the world and get into people groups, and we're going to be regional and international and cross-cultural, how are we going to do that? Well, God calls on us to partner and send and raise up and train and start churches all over this globe. And so we send people. They go on the behalf of the local church. They are helping us as a local church to fulfill the Great Commission. Very, very important role. Oftentimes we think of missionaries as a separate entity. Many times they think of themselves as a separate entity. That they're out there somewhere serving, and we're here serving. And when we see each other once a year or once every 5 years or however long it's time, that's when we get together and then we go our separate ways. Well, that's not so. It's not biblical. So we need to understand why we have missionaries sent. Did you know the Apostle Paul was a missionary that was sent? Do you remember what church he was sent out of? The church at Antioch, Acts chapter 13. Him and Barnabas went out of there, they laid hands on them, and they left and went out, made a missionary journey. He made a second missionary journey with Silas and a third missionary journey. And as you read these little books of the Bible, like Philippi, they were churches that were planted during those missionary endeavors. Those churches he wrote books back to, they started with no saved people and nothing. And he went there and they preached the gospel and people got saved and people got baptized and people grew. And when he left the area, oftentimes he left leadership in charge. He trained up, discipled up, taught up, left somebody in charge, and a church was born. And the Apostle Paul went on his missionary ways. So the Philippian church worked locally in Philippi. Paul went to the uttermost. And those two were co-laborers, if you will, co-sharing. And the Apostle Paul was an extension of the church's work. And notice in verse 10 that Paul is exuberant in his expression, that he's very, very happy and glad, and he has great gratitude toward the Philippian church. He rejoiced greatly, the Bible says in verse 10. He acknowledges their care for him. He acknowledges their gifts to him. And the gift that just arrived in the hands of Epaphroditus was a blessing. It was a help. And it was an encouragement. Maybe you left home and went off to college or went off to the military or you went off somewhere else and you got one of those packages sent to you and they call them care packages. I don't know where that name come up. I don't know how it came about, but it's what it is. It's a care package. And if you were in the military somewhere and you received that care package, how important was that? You were off to college a long ways from home and you got a care package from grandma or mom and dad or whoever it might have been. It was important to you. My wife, she went off to college in her freshman year, and she missed the state fair, Kansas State Fair, for the first time in her life. And her grandmother sent her a care package, And in that care package, they had this stuff that's on the sugary stick that's all kind of, what's they call that stuff? Oh, yeah, cotton candy. I don't eat the stuff, but cotton candy. By the time it got to Virginia, it was just some stuff on a stick. But it wasn't so much about the cotton candy. It was the thought that somebody cared for me. Somebody cared for my soul. And if our missionaries are really our partners, if we co-labor together with them, then we are concerned about them. We check on them. We call on them. And today is easier than ever to spend some time with them. And we can even go and visit them. Yes or no? And so you can see this relationship. Now, Paul is not earning a living like a normal person who works a regular job and goes off on Monday morning and clocks in or checks in and checks out and does this Monday through Friday. He doesn't live like a normal person who sleeps regularly in his own bed. We know that the Apostle Paul traveled in his work for the Lord, and therefore if he's traveling, if he's gone, he cannot hold down a regular job and travel. But we also know that the Apostle Paul was a worker. You guys remember the kind of work that he did? He was a tent maker. The Bible teaches us that he worked with his own hands. He had a craft. He had a trade. And oftentimes he would work wherever he was located so that he could have some funds, not just for himself, but also for his traveling team, his traveling crew. Listen to what the Bible says. If you want to turn there, you're welcome to. It's in Acts 20, verse 34. Listen to what he says in Acts 20, verse 34. He said, "These hands," I love it, "these hands have ministered unto my necessities and them that were with me." And he had 8 people in his traveling group at that time. So he was working, providing, as he was doing missionary work, as he was serving God, as he was church building, as he was evangelizing, as he was discipling, as he was teaching, as he was doing the Lord's work. He also worked a job, and these hands, he says. I love that. Now, he was a tent maker. If you know anything about tents in those days, they were made of leather, and so it was hard work. The Bible says in Acts 18, verse 3, "And because he was of the same craft," he was of the same trade, "he abode with them," which was Aquila and Priscilla, and the Bible says, "and wrought," which means he labored and he toiled, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And so God teaches us, and Paul teaches us, that if any would not work, neither should he. Okay, you guys do know that verse, right? If any would not work, neither should he. Well, he believed that. And he worked. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. So God is teaching us some missionary principles. God is teaching us some missionary principles. Paul worked in many churches and never charged them, nor was a burden to them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught," or for free, "but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." He said in 2 Corinthians, and I think you ought to turn there, and I think you ought to look at this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, take a look. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8. I want you to see this with your own eyes, because you might not think I'm saying the right thing up here, but I want you to see it yourself. The Bible says, Paul speaking, "I what? What? I robbed other churches. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." In other words, other churches were supporting him while he's working in Corinth. The Bible says that when I was present with you, notice, when I was present with you and what? What's the word? Look at the Bible. Verse 9. "I was present with you and what? I wanted. I had some lack.
I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, Philippi, supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. So Paul commended the Philippian church for their repeated generosity. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, he says, ye have well done. He stated that the church had done well. They sent their gift through Epaphroditus. We know that in verse 18. You can look back in chapter 2, and you can see Epaphroditus mentioned in verse 25. You can see that he was sent there, and the Bible says that he almost died in verse 30 to supply their lack of service toward the Apostle Paul. And so Epaphroditus had shared, had communicated the church's love and gift in Paul's affliction back in Philippians 4 verse 14. You notice he says in chapter 4, verse 14, that you did communicate, that you did share with my affliction. You say, well, what affliction is he in? Well, hold your finger here and look at Philippians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, and you find that he is in prison. He says, so that my bonds, my chains in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, the Bible says, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So he's in prison. And so when they sent Epaphroditus and they sent a gift, they sent an encourager and they sent encouragement, and that meant a lot. It meant a lot to the Apostle Paul to receive Epaphroditus, to receive the gift, and to know that there was a church who cared for him and the work that he was doing. Verse 14, when you look at it in Philippians 4, carries a sense of fellowship in the work, of co-laboring in the work. And I ask all of us, do our missionary partners, do they feel our partnership? Do they feel our support? Paul is praising them for what they are doing. He said that they had done good and he had felt it very deeply. Notice in verse 15, he says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, what does he mean by the beginning of the gospel? He's talking about many years ago when they started to help the Apostle Paul. And how far back was it that they go in helping the Apostle Paul? Well, all the way back in the beginning of the gospel, the Bible says, dating back to the first preaching of the gospel in the church of Philippi, when they had become Christians, when they had first believed. Think about that and then read this verse in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. It'll make all kinds of sense now if you understand this. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That verse makes a whole lot more sense when you go back and you read Philippians chapter 4 and you see that this church had been involved and co-sharing and co-laboring and partnering together with the Apostle Paul from the very beginning, from when the church began, from when the church started, from when they first heard the gospel, when the gospel came and he began to preach and teach on that Saturday down by the riverside. Notice in verse 15, he says, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning, notice the words now, giving and what? I want to say to you that between a missionary and a local church, there's giving and receiving, and it goes both ways. See, most church people don't think that way, do they? They just think, hey, we're the church and we give and they receive. Is that not how we think? The Apostle Paul makes it correct here. The Bible's right. Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. God wrote the Bible. And this is what it says. He says giving and receiving. And so it's a two-way street. He's saying in the account between the Philippian church and myself, he's saying that there was some giving. Paul says, I gave and you gave. There was some receiving. Paul says, I've received and you have received. And Paul had something to show for his work and for the investment that they put into him. They would have fruit in ministry, souls saved and believers baptized and disciples made and instructed and taught and churches planted. This is fruit. And notice in verse 15, some words there that maybe you hadn't thought much about. It says that in verse 15, look at it very carefully. He said, no church shared with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye, you guys can finish it, ye only, you and you alone. Now, what kind of message does that send to all the other churches that would have read this? That's a double-edged sword. The Philippian church, praise the Lord that we've been there and we've supported and we've been partnering with him. But if I was another person from another church, and I'm going to say, we're not included in that. I don't know about you, but I would consider the Apostle Paul a pretty good missionary to support. He's thankful for them, but where are the rest? We are not to wait to see what other churches are going to do or assume that others will support missionaries. Oftentimes we have the mindset, well, there are larger churches and bigger churches with bigger budgets and larger finances and more people, and they will take up the support, and we'll just let them handle it, and we don't need to do anything because we're a small church. Is that the right philosophy? This means no in Nebraska. This means yes. Is that the right philosophy? No. We don't need to worry about what the other churches are doing. We need to do right in our church. Amen? But ye only. Ooh, that's stinging. They were the first to regularly support Paul in God's work. He said, I received nothing regularly from others. No church, but ye only. And after leaving there in Philippi, Paul went to Thessalonica, which was about 25 miles away. And you can read about that in verse 16. And what did they do when he got to Thessalonica? What did the church in Philippi do when he got to Thessalonica? Oh, they sent again. Look at it very carefully. They sent once and again unto my what? Necessity. They assisted him again and again, and they gave. And verse 17, notice he says, not because I desire a gift, because this is the right view. Paul is looking at it correctly as a missionary. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. They gave unasked. Paul did not desire gifts. He was not after their money. But what he desired was fruit to the church's account. That is the right spirit of a missionary. Paul sought their spiritual good. He said, I desire fruit, something good to your account. This phrase here is a business dealing type of phrase. It's an accountant type of phrase. And his heart was to put some things on the credit, on the account of the local church. You do understand that the missionaries that you partner with and the missionaries that you support and the ones you co-labor with, what they're doing out there on your behalf and committing and fulfilling the Great Commission, what they're doing out there is going to be on the account of this church. You do understand that, right? So when are you going to find out about your heavenly account? When are you going to find out about your heavenly account? When you get to heaven.
Now, you got a personal account too, by the way. You lay up your what in heaven? Treasures in heaven. You got a personal account. And by the way, God is a perfect accountant, by the way. He won't miss a thing. Not one penny. And as a church, we have an account too. I don't know if you thought about that. I know you might have one here at the Henderson Bank somewhere. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the heavenly account. Our missionaries, those who are working on our behalf, those that we've sent out, that are co-laboring, helping us to fulfill the Great Commission, they are putting things on our account. We'll get to see that account one day. What a blessing that we partnered with missionaries. Their gift, when they gave to the Apostle Paul, allowed the Apostle Paul to work free in Thessalonica. And what was the other one I pointed out to you? And in Corinth. We can certainly do more now as a missionary if we can be in ministry full time. But if necessary, every minister, every pastor, every church planter, every missionary should have the mindset to work and to provide for themselves and still do ministry. Is that the right biblical mindset, yes or no? Many think and act this way. They will only do ministry if they are paid. That's the mindset of today's Christian worker. If I tell people about a certain church that we need somebody to go there, oftentimes in the first 5 or 10 minutes, the question I'm going to receive is, how much are they going to pay me? It's never a question about how much a church is going to pay me. Listen, ladies. Your husband's a pastor, he's a missionary. It's not about how much you're going to pay. It's about where the Holy Spirit wants me to go. You go where God wants you to go. And there might not be no pay there, but you can work with what? These hands. Now, we have a system in America called deputation. You ever heard of this thing? That's where these people decide they're going to go somewhere, church send them out, and they go all across America trying to raise support. Have we ever thought about what these other foreign countries do when it comes time to sending out their people? It don't make no difference. They travel all over the country and have 100 churches supporting. It ain't going to be enough. Many of the churches in Mexico can only support their missionaries at $1. And yet I run into Mexican missionaries all over the globe. And you know what they're doing in these foreign countries? They're working. And you know who they're working with? The nationals. And you know who they're winning to the Lord? The nationals. And you know who they're getting to meet? The nationals. And you know who they're getting to eat with? The nationals. You know what language they're learning? And you know what we're doing? We're running around America for 4 to 5 years trying to raise support to go somewhere to live the same kind of lifestyle we live here in America somewhere else. In Venezuela, they only need about $50, $75 to make it a month, no problem. In Moldova, $150, you can live in the city. $75, you can live in the village. But do American missionaries want to live like the people live in the village? I hate to tell you this, but I visited some places and they live better than you live here. They got servants. How'd you like to have some servants? Somebody cleans your house, somebody washes your dishes, somebody mops your floors, somebody watches your kids. They got servants. I've seen some tremendous missionaries and I've seen some horrible missionaries. That's why you ought to go visit your missionaries. See what they're doing. I was telling this couple over here a story last night about a missionary couple you guys know. I found out while I was sleeping in his house. It broke my heart. I found out that he had one towel for the family. I kept wondering why my towel disappeared from the bathroom. She would take it out and wash it, hang it up so somebody else could wash it. I told her, just leave the towel in here. You don't have to wash it every day. Well, I didn't understand. She only had one towel and other people needed to use the same towel. That's Lordson, by the way. Lordson. Some of you met this man from India. And he's got three churches. in three different languages. And I remember that boy when he was in college, when he was training for the ministry. He's laying his life down out there. Sacrifice it. He got a woman from America, from Nebraska, to live with him. Unbelievable. I think they found each other. I don't know how they found each other, but she felt like the Holy Spirit wanted her to go marry a missionary, and she went and got... It's a long story. She's out there, and she's serving. I don't know how many kids they got now. Two or three. They're up to three. Where's the faith in our missions work today where people just go? I think we need to reconsider some of the things that we're doing. Paul worked with his hands. Now we have a term for a Christian worker who... Well, there's a term for this. There's a term for almost everything, but there's a term for this. It's called bivocational. I started out at Medora. I worked as a Christian school teacher. That was my full-time job. And Medora, they paid $100 a week for the first 5 years. How much is that a year? We don't have an account in this building. how many weeks in a year? And $100 a week makes? Oh, you guys are bright. I knew you could get it. Now, you can't raise a family on that in the States very well, so you got to work outside the home. And so I worked there. I worked as a janitor at a Japanese corporation there in Hutchinson. I was employee number 7. They have 150 employees now. I thought it was good that I was employee number 7, thinking about God's numbers. But I realized something while I was working those places. I realized I met a lot of lost people, especially at the janitorial job, because I got to go to every station in that place I worked because I had to pick up the trash. And when that place kept growing, I think it was 50 or 60 employees there when I left. I knew all 50 or 60 employees because I went to every station and picked up the trash. I had relationships with all those guys. And I'm thinking to myself, I said, this is a real blessing to me. I get to meet a lot of people and they can't get away from me. They got to stay here with their machine. And I come here, they're glad I'm showing up because I'm dumping this for them. They don't have to dump it themselves. I also dumped stuff, had a lot of metal shavings and stuff, so I used a forklift. It wasn't just trash. I mopped their floors, by the way, too, and they really love to see me coming because the Japanese, you know, they like the floors in the machine shops as clean as your floor that you eat off of. And most machine shops are not like that, right? And after I left, they got a machine to do what I was doing with a mop. And they're driving around on a machine in there. I said, why don't you buy that while I was there? We didn't need it while you when you were here, as they said. I remember the day I drove away from that parking lot, the last day I worked there. After I think I worked there 7 years at that Japanese place. I said to myself, I've been here 7 years. I've witnessed. I try to work hard. I try to not to steal from this company. I made sure that when the bell went off, I went and took my break. When the bell rang, I went back to work. I didn't try to take any minutes or shave any minutes off or lazy in any way, shape, or form. I try to have a good testimony there. I try to witness to people there. And I said when I left, I have no fruit at this place. 7 years. I said, man, I felt really bad. I remember driving out of the parking lot. That was my thought when I drove out of that parking lot. My thought wasn't, well, I'm glad this job's over. But my thought was I had no fruit. But it wasn't a couple of months later, and somebody from that plant showed up at church, and another couple of months, somebody else showed up. Before it was all said and done, I think I had about 25 people from that TSW Japanese plant ended up at our church. They said, well, you used to come by, and I used to go visit with you there, but now I have to come to church to see you. Because I would counsel them right there. I went into the boss there one time. I said, it's taking me way too long to pick up all this stuff. You know, I should be done in about 2.5-3 hours, and it's taking me 6 or 7 hours to pick all this stuff up. He said, well, what's taking you so long? I said, well, I stopped over there at one place. You know, his daughter committed suicide. I said, I stopped at another place. That man's wife is leaving him. I said, I don't know what to do. I said, now, look, I can just go through and do what I'm supposed to do and get the job done and get out of here like you want me to, or I can minister to your employees now. But that's your decision. What do you want me to do? He said, I'd like for you to take care of my employees. I said, okay, I will. And that's what I did. I stopped, talked, and never know what we ended up talking about. But as people go through 7 years of time, a lot of things happen, yes or no? When Paul's working there with his hands and making the leather, and he's out in the business market and all the places, and things are going on. Here's the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't you like to work alongside the Apostle Paul? Wouldn't you like to be in the booth next to him, hearing what he's got to say, where he's been, telling some stories of what God has done? That's how you get out and minister amongst the lost. You know, many times churches, church staff, they never get amongst the lost because they're always ministering on campus. And when you're on campus, you're just with a bunch of Christians. I used to take my guys, when we had a staff there at my door, I used to say, okay, guys, let's go. Where are we going? I said, we're going to Walmart today. Bring your shopping list and bring your shopping cart. We're going to witness to people in Walmart. People are in Walmart. Yes or no? And we kind of had a little, you know, we're a little nicer dressed than everybody else. And if they gave us a schmuck, I would have worn it. Because that would have caused people to ask us more questions. But people always ask questions. They, you know, I'm a tall guy. Can you reach that for me? I said, I sure can. It's nice to be tall. But it's all right to be short. And I'd get to talking to them about something. I'd reach up there and get it and give them something. And we cruised around Walmart. We'd hit each other with a cart every now and then. Hey, how you doing? Well, I talked to four or five. I'm going back again. Let's stay a little longer. We call these our Walmart evangelism days. And they don't want you coming to just evangelize. So we had a cart and we put stuff in it. And we bought stuff when we left. That was before you could go and back up and just throw the stuff in the back of your vehicle and go home. But it's good to work. Bivocational is the term. It's a great way to meet people. It's a great way to be submerged in the culture. It's a great way to share the gospel. It's a great way for others to see Jesus in you. And by the way, our church people work. Yes or no? They work. Sometimes the pastor thinks he's the only one who works. Well, sometimes the church people think he only works on Sundays and Wednesdays too. That's not the case if you've got a good pastor. And so what support does is it oftentimes allows the missionary to go places that cannot afford. When I go inside Mexico, the need is so great. It's hard. I go inside and eat at Christian families' homes because you get invited to eat just like I get invited to eat your house. I wish I could take you to some of those homes, let you see what they have. I go into Moldova, the poorest European country. And so when you go to these countries, do you think I'm coming home with money? You think they're giving me gold? They're giving me stocks and bonds and mutual funds? I go into those places, and usually when I come out of those places, I try to keep at least a $5 bill. I got a credit card that really helps. Sometimes that don't work sometimes. So I try to keep at least a $5 bill, maybe a 10. But usually when you go in with a lot of finances, and when you come out, you've dispersed them and they're gone. And that's what a missionary does. He sees needs over there. To be no burden to them whatsoever. The Bible says in verse 17, this is fruit to your account. This is co-laboring, therefore co-sharing the missionary fruit. And notice in verse 18, Paul had received, the Bible says in verse 18, more than enough. He was amply supplied and overwhelmed with their generosity. And notice what he regarded their gift. Look at verse 18. He regarded their gift to him as an offering which had been made unto God himself. It was very humbling for him. He described their gift as fragrant, as a sacrifice, and as well-pleasing to God. A sacrifice. When we come and bring our finances to God, is it a real sacrifice to Him, or are we just giving in the overflow? Most of us in this room, if we wanted to, we could raise our giving another 10% and live. We could probably raise it another 15%. I believe that we ought to raise our giving until it hurts. What's it to give $100,000 when you make $1 million? You gonna miss that $100,000? Yes or no? You say, well, I haven't had a meal. Well, I just think that you did. You're going to miss the 100,000? So let's say you make 100,000. What's 10,000? You going to miss the 10? Now, if you only make a dollar and you take a dime out, you going to miss that? You going to miss that if you only make a dollar and you take a dime out? Yes, indeedy. To whom much is given, much is required. How many of us got raises in this room over our lifetime? Have we ever thought about giving a raise to the church? We ever thought about giving more to God? See, I can talk about these things. I'm going to get out of here this afternoon. You can't fire me. We can give more. Many times we're just building bigger barns. If you go through our houses are so full, garage so full, can't even get the car in. We got so many cans that we pushed up in the back of the shelf, so much food that we pushed down into the freezer. I think we could go a long time if things stopped. We got so much stuff we used for killing and cleaning that we didn't forget those cans are there. And what are we going to do next week? We're going to buy more. And where's our sacrifices? We want somebody to go to the mission field, yes or no? You know what it's going to take for somebody to go to the mission field? It means they're going to have to leave. They're going to have to go. How many of our people are we seeing in America go to the mission field today? Every year we have more people coming off the mission field than we're sending back. We're not replacing them. You want your kids to go to the mission field? You want your grandchildren to go to the mission field? No. I want them for myself. I want them to stay close. I want to be able to see them. I want them to have good jobs, a nice place to live. What about a life given to Christ? What about losing our life? And so Paul talks about their gift. Those gifts helped Paul personally. But they had a far higher value because giving to the Lord and His work is a very sacred thing. And God sees those gifts as given to Himself. When we give to God's church, when we give to God's servant, when we give to God's work, we are giving to God. It's a mistake for us to think that the benefit of giving is all on the recipient. That's wrong thinking. The benefit is just to the one that receives. No, it's not. The benefit's to the giver as well. It is fruit which is added to our account. It's laying up treasures in heaven. Giving is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. Giving is a part of the worship of God. Let's say that God is here on His throne right here at this place. And you are going to come down forward and you're going to bring your gifts to Him. Would you wrote your check bigger today? See, sometimes I think we forget who we're giving to. We think we're giving to the church. We're giving to the pastor's salary. We're giving for the lights and stuff like that. No, you're not. No, you're not. Who are you giving to? You got to realize who you're giving to. It's like when you're singing. Who are you singing to? To your neighbor? Because if I was singing to my neighbor, I'd sing a lot more quiet. Because I'm hurting my neighbor's ears. We're singing as unto the, and we're giving as unto the, and we got to keep that in mind. And Paul reminds them of this. It is more blessed to than to, Jesus said. In turn, Paul reminded these people in verse 19 that God would supply all their needs. Is that what it says in verse 19? God blesses them and that gave and the one that receives, and He amply supply their need. And I want you to think about this Proverbs. There is he that scattereth. There is he, the person that freely gives. And the Bible says, and yet increaseth. And there is the one that withholdeth more than is meet, more than is fitting. The Bible says it tendeth to him to poverty. It's the exact opposite of what we think. There's a person who is freely giving, and what happens to him? He gains. There's a person that holds back more than he should, and he goes to poverty. So don't think if you give more or if you give a higher percentage of your finances that it's going to impoverish you. The Philippians, notice in verse 10 now, if you look at verse 10, the Philippians wanted to give more. Yes or no? Look at verse 10. Read it. They wanted to give more. But they lacked something. What did they lack? Opportunity. They didn't have Visa. They didn't have Western Union. They couldn't telegraph some money. They didn't have a postal service. They didn't have checks they could send. And they couldn't keep up with the Apostle Paul. How would you like to find the Apostle Paul? Time you got to one place, he didn't go to another place. They lost the opportunity. They had the same affection to him, the same care for him, but they lacked the opportunity. They lost the opportunity after he left town. They were hindered somehow. And Paul said, now notice what he says here in verse 11. He said, now I didn't say all of this so that you could give me another gift. See in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of what? Verse 17, not because I desire what? How many of you men, your wife has cooked something that you really, really, really liked? She done threw out a new dish and it is good. And so you praised her for that dish. But in the back of your mind, you're praising her for that dish so that she'll do something. So that she'll cook it again. Many times our motives are not right. Paul's motive is not that he desires a gift for them, that he's asking for a gift from them. He's not doing that. Paul was not thanking them so that they could give again. Paul served God whether their finances or food were there or not. Yes or no? True or false? He served God whether the food was there or not. He learned to be, what's the word? He learned to be content. Now you're starting to understand these verses in a missionary's mind. Because I believe oftentimes these verses have been taken out of context in the American Christianity. He had learned to be content. He had learned to live with a little. He had learned to live with a... And that is not the mindset of today's workers. The mindset of today's workers is, oh, you know, I can go over there because that'll be a lot better, a nicer place for me to live. I'd rather have my family in Florida than have them in Nebraska. And plus, they're going to pay me a lot more, and you know, and I don't have to, you know, drive 30 minutes to get somewhere. I can just go around the corner, and there's the Lowe's and Home Depot and restaurants and the beach is not far away. Oh, I think the Lord is calling me to Florida. I'm telling you, workers today are making decisions based on where they want to live, not based on where God wants them to go. This is, my dear friend, a real test for the worker of God. Will he continue in ministry when in need? Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Is the person who's working for God for money or working for God for God? It's a real question, isn't it? Way too many people want to work for God, and they won't work for God until they have income. It's not good. And what you see in this church is you see a combination of the Apostle Paul and his missionary team and the local church working together. There was a real heartfelt relationship between the two. They never forgot the Apostle Paul. Never forgot him. I think if we met the Apostle Paul, we'd never forget him either. Because this guy is sold out, yes or no?
See, when you run into people who are sold out for Christ, you don't run into them too often. He's willing to lay down his life for Christ, which he did. And they said, you know, if we're going to support somebody, we're going to support him. And they did to the best of their ability. Though Paul was often in circumstances of need, real need, it did not stop him from winning souls. It did not stop him from discipleship. It did not stop him from church planting. There was a real partnership between this church and himself. There was a real relationship. They worked together for the cause of Christ. There was a real partnership. Philip, the Philippi church and the Apostle Paul, that's what I call a partnership in missions. Teamwork. Now I want you to think about your missionaries. Most churches can't give me the wife's name of the missionary. They can't tell me how many kids they got. Most of the time they can't even tell me what continent they're on. Well, what are they doing there? Well, I don't quite know what they're doing there. You don't? And you're the pastor? I'm sure if you're the pastor and you don't know, the church people surely don't know. And what we have seen today is we've seen two separate entities. We see today in the world, we see the local church, and we see these missionaries. And who are the missionaries accountable to? They're supposed to be accountable to the church, but oftentimes they're not accountable to the church. They're accountable to some mission agency somewhere. And you know who's supposed to be the real missionary agency of God? The local church. And we've given our responsibility away. And many missionaries are out there and they feel alone and they feel lonely and they feel like nobody has their back. They'll write a letter and send it out and nobody writes back. They share a need. Oftentimes it's not even their need. They have a need for somebody in their church. They come home and we take them to lunch on Sunday. And where's the nicest restaurant near here? Nobody knows the nicest restaurant near this church. Come on. What's the nicest restaurant near here? Oh, chances are, I even know the name of the place. And how much is it going to cost after four of us get out of there? How much is it going to cost? And that missionary is thinking, you know what I could have done with that $100? See, sometimes we don't understand how a missionary thinks. That missionary is thinking, you know what I could have done with $100? I could have fed my village for a month. And many times when they come home, they feel guilty. They feel guilty sometimes ordering a steak. Because you know where their mind is at? You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about their work back home. Their home. And we don't get it oftentimes. And if you go back and read and study this passage, I hope you look at this passage in a whole different way. Because when you get to verse 13, I've heard all kinds of messages out of verse 13. But Paul is saying this in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me when I'm talking about missions work. I'm busy about my Father's business and I can do all things. And God enables, doesn't He? And God gives. And God does miracles for people who are in the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things, the Apostle Paul says. Because God strengthens me when I'm high, when I'm low, when I'm full, when I'm hungry. And he was hungry at times. And he was in need. And he lacked. But he kept on for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of missionaries that we need. Those are the kind we need to partner with. Let's stand to our feet. I pray it's been a good weekend for you. It's been a joy for me to come back and visit with you. It's been a long time. I think about you often. You're the only church I know in Nebraska. Only church I preach in Nebraska. I think about the good life a lot in Nebraska. I see that sign across the border. Your faces, many of you I know from years gone by. I think about you. Keep up with some of you. Ms. June sends an email every now and then. Lets us know about what's happening, what's going on, prayer requests every now and then. I appreciate that very much. We do care. So glad for you guys. So glad for your pastor and his wife and their marriage. Their babies now growing up. I appreciate what you guys are doing for missions work. One of your leaders was telling me about what you're doing. I appreciate it very much. I'm glad you have a heart for that. God will bless you for that. There's an account in heaven for that. But you know what? We can do more. There's more people to reach. The work is not done. Christ hasn't come back yet. So let's be busy about the Great Commission. And when He shows up, we go up. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, Crossroads. Well done. That's what we want to hear. But we won't hear that unless we're busy about His business, not our own. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there's a young person in this room. Maybe there's an older person in this room. Maybe there's some middle-aged couples in this room. And God has been dealing with your heart about laying your life down to surrender it to full-time Christian work. You're saying to God, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I am available. You've been stirring in my heart. You have touched my heart. I don't know where to go. I don't know when to go, but I'm available to go with your leading. God has done that in your life. I want to encourage you to step out, walk down the aisle of a church and come to the altar here in the front and lay yourself out before God and say, God, here am I. Send me. We need some workers because the workers are few. We need to lift up our eyes. The harvest is white already. We don't have enough workers, laborers in the fields. And we so desperately need them. Maybe God's been stirring in you to come to the fields. And I want to encourage you to respond and surrender your life to Him today. I surrender my job, my finances, my family, my home, my career. I'm here surrendered to You, God. Do what You will with my life. God has done it in your heart. You respond to Him today. Maybe God has spoken to you about missionaries abroad. Some missionaries that we support from this local church that we don't know very well. We've not encouraged them very much. We've not been a part of their ministry or their life. They're out there serving and we really don't think about them until they come back in. But God has touched your heart or put a family or a face or a missionary in front of your eyes and burdened your heart about that couple, about that family. And I pray that if God has done that in your heart, that you'll respond and say, I'll do my part to care for that missionary family. Maybe God has spoke to our hearts today about giving. That we could give more. But we're just putting it in a 401k. We're just saving it up for retirement. We're just building and buying more stuff. And God has struck our hearts to give more. And I pray that you would respond today. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit has worked in your life and in your heart today. I know that I'm supposed to preach and share God's Word and the Scriptures. And that through preaching and the work of the Holy Spirit, that He works in people's lives. And if God has worked in your life today, I want to encourage you that during this invitation time, that you'll respond, that you won't be hard-hearted or stiff-necked or prideful, but you'll respond and you'll concrete in your heart and with God through prayer what it is that He has spoken to you about. If you're listening today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been born again, you're not sure if you were to die today where you would end up, I got great news for you. God will save you wherever you're at, listening by Facebook Live or standing here this morning. He loves you. He sent His only begotten Son to die on a cruel cross, to shed His blood for your sins and my sins, and you can be saved and you can be forgiven. Jesus said for you to come to Him, and you can come to Him in prayer and call out on Him, and He would hear you and save you. And you can believe on Him, and you can be saved. And why don't you right now step out from the pew and walk an aisle? Some of you probably haven't walked an aisle in a long time. You might not be able to kneel down here when you get here. You might just be able to stand. But if God has leaned on you, just step out and come. You can pray right where you're standing. You can kneel right where you're at if you want to. You can sit down and pray if you'd like to. But you're welcome to come to the altar today. I believe that God has met with us. I believe that God has spoken to us. And we need to respond and submit in our hearts what God has spoken to us about. I'm going to be quiet. This is a time of invitation. And then I'll close this in prayer in just a few moments. But let's respond to what God has done in our life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for letting us be together again. It's a joy to be here. It's a blessing to be with Your people. God, I pray for this church. I pray for Your blessings upon them. Use them for Your kingdom and glory. Lord, help us to do the great commission work You've given to us. Help us to fulfill it. Help us all to evangelize. Help us all to disciple. Help us to reach our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to work through and in our local church to make this body here strong and healthy and powerful. Help us to reach our town and surrounding communities and our state and our nation and our world. And Lord, I pray for our missionaries today, wherever they might be, whatever they might be doing. Lord, the people here, they know they're missionaries. And Lord, they're our partners. They're helping us to fulfill the Great Commission. Lord, I pray that our view of them is biblical. Their view of us is biblical. I pray that we've learned a lot from Philippians chapter 4. I pray that as we looked inside internally at the relationship between the Apostle Paul and the Philippi church, like a mirror, we can look at our own church and make sure that where we lack, we strengthen. Where we're wrong, we fix it. And that we become more biblical, more like the Bible, more like You, Lord. Thank You for coming. Thank You for giving us the great work. Thank You for giving us Your Holy Spirit, enabling us to do it. And help us to be found busy working in Your fields. Thank You again for this time we've had together. It's in Your great name, Your matchless name, we pray. And all of God's people say, amen. Praise the Lord.